Action items. Action item 2.1 is adoption of a resolution in appreciation for James G. Meyer. Have any comments, Mr. President?
Well, Jim was a terrific member of this board and chairman of this board. Incredibly loyal and thoughtful and balanced and even keel. And I just have great respect for Jim Meyer and the leadership that he provided for this university and for our Board of Regents. And I'm pleased that this resolution is up for approval today. And I know Jim will be exceedingly proud of it. He provided great service to this board and to this university.
Any other comments? Entertain a motion for adoption of the resolution.
So moved.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Unanimously approved. Action item 2.2, addendum to athletic employment contract, Mr. Travis Hudson. Are you any comments to that, Mr. AD?
Sure. That contract there essentially gave Travis Hudson a contract very similar to what our other head coaches have. And that is, it's a 4-year rollover contract. Technically, it extends his contract through June 30th of 2017, but consistent with our other coaches, it's a 4-year contract, but it's just a rollover contract, and at the end of that period, he'd have to have a new contract.
You want to have any questions or discussion with the athletic director? Entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, no. So approved unanimously. Final action item is authorization and approval to proceed with acquisition and disposition of real property. This material is on page 8-9 of your booklet. Mr. President, you want to make any presentation with regard to that proposal?
Yes. You have some maps in your booklet. Jeff, you'll go on and let me see what you have next here. If you look at the properties that we're talking about here, I want to describe two transactions, although board authorization to proceed with one transaction is all that is being requested today, and I'll explain that. But you will recall the site selection process that I believe most of you, well, all of you should have received the site selection study for the site for the Honors College Building and International Center. John, I don't know if you have received this or not. Not today, but previously this was distributed. I pass that down to John. You can keep that in your files. But at any rate, this is the site that has been selected for the Honors College International Center on Normal Street. There are two property transactions which we need to affect in the months ahead, although one transaction may not be completed until January of 2014. The timeline and the sequence for this project is first site selection, which we've completed, second property acquisition, which we're beginning that process, third, architectural design, which that process has begun and the architects have been selected. Fourth would be legislative authorization for an agency bond to issue the bond to build this facility. That will be somewhere in the $20 million range for approximately a 70,000 square foot building. And then begin construction. Over the course of that period of time, we are confirming the revenue stream with Navitas students that are coming to us and dedicating a portion of the tuition that they pay as they pay out-of-state fees, dedicating a portion of that margin between in-state and out-of-state tuition to cover this debt. So that's the game plan and the sequence for this building. Now, in order for that to happen, The Chi Omega sorority is right here, and they have two lots. The Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity is right here, and they have one lot. What we are proposing with Chi Omega sorority is to swap a piece of property located right here on Chestnut Street that is owned by our real estate corporation with no debt. That was a gift of property. And we would do a straight-up swap with the Kyles. And we do know that we'll be proceeding to communicate with the planning and zoning appropriate officials in Bowling Green for that property swap. And that will unfold over the next year or so. There's no hurry for that transaction. The Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity here, we are proposing that we do a swap with, this house right here, that's the Rock House, that is no longer there. The what's called Cherry Hill Place is a rental property owned by a real estate corporation, and there is debt on that property of just under $290,000, and it is owned by a real estate corporation and used as a rental property, and it was purchased several years ago. To be available for when the university had use for it. And so we would propose, although other suggestions are being discussed, what I'm seeking from you today is authorization to proceed to acquire this piece of property and relocate Sigma Phi Epsilon to this property in an appropriate financial transaction. What this describes or proposes, although that may not be the final transaction, is that the university buy this property from the real estate corporation so that debt is removed from their books, and then the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity would deed to us their property here and move to here in a property swap. Again, there may be other ways in which then that transaction can be completed, and we'll certainly explore those possibilities, but I need your authorization to proceed with the property transaction. Again, do not need your authorization for the Chi Omega, because that's purely a transaction between Chi Omega sorority and the real estate corporation. But then that would secure three of the lots necessary for this building, and then we would begin to proceed with the balance of the needed property going forward. So that's the proposal. Again, the action item relates only to the and you have maps in your booklet that clearly point out what we're talking about here, and these are the three lots that we're describing. Go on, Jeff. And then when you look at the Cherry Hill Place, it's located right here. And again, our intent has been to relocate fraternities into this general area. Granted, Cherry Hill Place is slightly outside that footprint, but our university master plan does not include any property or any building projects on this side of College Street going forward. This is the Newman Center. That's a very important part of our undergraduate experience. And the Wesley Foundation is right here. We do not own this property here. And this will put all but one of our fraternities that are in this part of the campus. There's still one more down College Street right here. Alpha Tau Omega is going into a house that Sigma Chi's used to occupy that's right about here. And then I think 3 Howard will still remain on Chestnut Street. Where's Howard? I think 3 will still remain on Chestnut Street.
Correct.
So this gets most of our fraternities over here together. And again, we are lighting and putting video surveillance along this alley that joins most of these organizations. And there is parking in the back of this lot for the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity. Next slide, Jeff. So if you're looking at this is the property that we're discussing. This is the lot owned by the real estate corporation for which we would do a swap with the Chi Omega sorority. And those are the transactions. By the way, just for your information, well, it doesn't show it on here. The work has begun on the property that used to be the Pi Kappa Alpha House to expand that faculty staff parking lot on about this end of Chestnut Street, about right here. And that work will be completed by the beginning of the spring semester. So that's the nature of the action item, and I'd be glad to entertain questions, discussion.
Any questions, discussion?
Before you move off the slide, I just had a logistics question. So the parcel at 1660 Chestnut includes a little piece over there off of Mosa Alley? They're both green.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. No, I'm not following you.
The map, okay. I made the map.
Okay.
The map was made to demonstrate merely ownership by color.
Okay.
So, yellow,
so those are two real estate corporations.
It just happens
plots.
To be owned by
okay.
real estate.
And it's the one at the corner of 16th and Logan that's going to be the swap, right?
That's correct.
Correct.
Okay. Only
okay.
that one.
Okay,
green
thank
spot.
You. Thank you.
When you said Mimosa Alley, you kind of threw me there.
Yeah, over there, the little green one.
Yeah, no, that's...
A little tiny
that's,
green one.
Yeah, that's...
Isn't that where the log cabin used to be? Somewhere in there.
I'm not sure. You own that log cabin at one point.
I know. It's out on the farm,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, I lived there. I didn't know. I was a student.
It's a cute little cabin.
That was when you lived on Adam Street.
You didn't know much of anything at that point.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember. yeah, I don't...
There was a log house there on Chestnut Street.
I'm not sure what
Rigsby,
what
but
that
it's right
is.
In that space.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're talking about right there.
I have a question. A question then. So two things. First, you said this might not be the last, this transaction that's before the board today as an action item might not be the last transaction. What do you mean by that as far as this particular deal with Signify Epsilon?
Well, once we acquire this footprint right here, the building at 70,000 square feet will likely require this property right here, and we would begin discussions with that property owner. That's an apartment building,
mm-hmm.
but we have yet to begin that conversation.
Okay, so that's what you referred to. So this particular transaction, if approved by the board, that's done.
That secures
yeah,
most
right.
of the footprint, but we're not...
Okay,
the footprint
and it moves,
is not this,
and it moves
secured
to
CEPS
to college.
Yes.
Then the related question is, if the fair market value for the trade of the property they own at Normal Street is $210,010, why are we doing a payoff at
$210,000?
Right, why are we paying off at $270,000, basically taking $60,000 loss on the deal?
Because we've taken much bigger losses than that on most of the other Greek transactions, and the deal for most of the fraternities is we'll sell you a lot for $50,000 if you'll build your house on this lot. The Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity is basically giving us $210,000 and property that we need for university strategic priority. So in my opinion, all the other fraternities got a better deal than the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity, but they do not have much money, and therefore the opportunity to move into a house that is there is attractive to them when they've not been able to raise much money and don't have much money. And they may still owe some money on this house. I'm not sure, but if they do, they'll just have to do a note against the property that they would then own in order to make the move. But again, with all of these Greek transactions, very few of them have made good business sense, but we've stayed with our objective of relocating fraternities to that College Street, Center Street area. But again, this one has a completely different motive and impetus, and that is securing the site for the Honors College International Center. So this is a different kind of transaction. But yeah, they're getting a piece of property that has greater market value than what they're giving up. But to us, this has much greater value for the university because of location.
Any other questions?
Is the plan to make the Honors College facility shovel ready? Is that the plan?
Yes, yes. And let me thank you for bringing that up. There is discussion among the university presidents of pursuing legislative authorization for some shovel-ready agency bond projects in this coming legislative session, even though it's not a budget session. All the campuses have some pretty desperate needs for some projects, and while that strategy has not been fully crystallized yet, the plan might be that each university submit one shovel-ready project for which we would pursue legislative authorization for an agency bond that we can pay for and that we're ready to go with. And so this would be our project, and we want to be sure that all the dynamics are in place to validate the shovel-readiness, if you will, of this particular project. And my goodness, the Honors College has been patient. As you well know, I mean, operating out of a house at the corner of College Heights Boulevard and State Street and a couple of modular units, and I'm cleaning that trailer term up a whole lot with that one, backed up to the back of it, we need a proper academic home for the Honors College and an international center, which right now our international center is a former president's home on State Street that is not really adequate for the growing, and you see the numbers here. Our international student population is up 13.3% this year. So those are the dynamics behind this. But to answer your question, yes, this helps us get shovel ready and on that list should that go forward this spring.
Let me ask a related question on the subject of the agency bond. You brought up in your presentation that if that were to be authorized by the legislature either now or 2014, which would be the next opportunity, that the projected debt service on that bond would be paid by Navitas revenues.
All right.
Those exist in insufficient
number. Well, we have 134 students in the Navitas program, according to an enrollment report I saw just a few days ago. 94 undergraduate and 30, or maybe it's 90 undergraduate and 34 graduate, but it's 134 students in Navitas, and that number is going up each year and will go up next year. But that's about the threshold that we need to ensure that debt service is covered. So we are at that threshold, and I'm confident that number will continue to go up. As it has for the last couple of years.
But what
in the future?
And if it doesn't, then the debt service on that bond would be we'd find the money in the budget.
No, we'll continue to use a portion of the margin between in-state and out-of-state tuition for Navitas students. It could be that if that number doesn't go up, we might have to claim all of that margin between in-state and out-of-state students from Navitas students. But my intent is to have a portion of that dedicated to other academic priorities, but this is the most pressing academic priority for that revenue stream.
Mr. President, I only have one comment about this transaction, and that is that the only reservation that I have is looking backward as a history, but also anticipating in the future. Property acquisition is going to be now and will always be something that we're going to be addressing. We do that from parking to new facilities, and I certainly support the Honors College. It would be my hope that those that are responsible for negotiating this arrangement would look and explore all possibilities that would retain real estate that we already own in some form or fashion.
Particularly that's adjacent to the campus.
Exactly my point. So from a positive standpoint, I think there may be some way we can explore to fulfill the mission, but at the same time retain in some way the real estate that is adjacent to the campus. So that's my only comment.
There may be lease arrangements. There may be other arrangements.
Exactly.
And again, I'm proposing the simplest transaction, but again, proposing what I'm seeking board authorization from is to proceed to negotiate the transaction. However those dynamics unfold, there could be better ways to do it. And be careful what you suggest. We may call on you for insight as to exactly how that might be done.
More than happy. Again, explorers are good.
I just have one final comment. And it's with great personal difficulty that I've arrived at my decision, because I worked at the Honors College for 3 years prior to assuming student body president. And the spaces are cramped. Yes, they do excellent work, and they deserve their own space, but at the same time, it warrants the question haven't the residents of Grice Hall or the Thompson Complex been just as patient, if not more so, than the faculty and staff of the Honors College? And quite frankly, if we continue ignoring the needs of Grice Hall and the Thompson Complex, then we're not going to be able to recruit the students that are prominent within the Honors College.
But I don't understand the correlation there, Corey.
Well, honestly, between the Downing University Center renovation and this new Honors facility, we could have made great strides with renovating the Thompson Complex.
Well, I would disagree with that. I don't think we could have done that. Maybe we could have figured out how to do but the day we start using student fees to renovate an academic building is the day we take a card away from the General Assembly's responsibility
Sure.
to provide our academic facilities. And our philosophy has been that we go to the state for academic priorities, but we take care of other priorities ourselves. Buildings like this, like a student center, like residence halls, like athletic facilities, campus restaurants, etc. And I would be very reluctant to go to the General Assembly, I would be very reluctant to take responsibility off the General Assembly's desk for an academic priority, a straight-up academic building. Now, clearly, the Honors College and the International Center is an academic priority, but it won't be a teaching academic facility like you would have with a College of Business or the College of Science and Engineering. You know, the General Assembly, when money's tight, they look for reasons not to do something, and I'm loath to give them an excuse not to do something that we've stated as our number one priority for academic purposes. The renovation of Thompson Complex and a College of Business are one and two. If we can find other ways to get other projects done, then we can keep the pressure on the General Assembly to do their duty and build or rebuild our core academic teaching and research facilities.
I don't disagree with that at all. It's just I'm afraid that this Honors College facility may undermine those initiatives.
I don't think so. I think they're different tracks, different strategies, different priorities. I think those are, you know, it's a complex financial profile, and projects move along parallel tracks, and these are on different tracks, if you will. I don't see this as undermining. I mean, yes, it is true that we won't be able to do Thompson Complex, Center Wing, and the College of Business until the state can pay for it. I'm really reluctant to get into a student fee for an academic priority. I mean, that's what tuition really covers, and it maintains those buildings. But I understand your point, but I just don't agree that one comes at the expense of the other.
Move to act on the motion and state an agenda.
Second.
I have a motion by Regent Johnson, seconded by Regent Ridley. Any other discussion or questions? All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
We have approval. How do you want your no vote registered?
Yes, I do.
So noted.
Can I also move that the record reflect the yeas, nays, and abstentions, please?
Pardon, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'd like to ask that the record reflect the yeas, nays, and abstentions on this vote, please.
Regent Dodds abstained, so I have that on record.
Okay. Do you have the yeas?
Mm-hmm.
You do have an abstention?
These people with a show of hands on this one.
Okay. Well noted by the parliamentarian. All those that voted yea, please raise your hands.
I'm sorry. Restate that, please. I had a sidebar conversation I should have been having.
All those that voted yea, please raise your hands. No. Raise your hand. And then Corey and an abstention. Now, Next, we'll move to information items. John, I guess you're up.
Have Brian Russell join me. In your board agenda, we have the printed summary of the update and status report for capital construction projects. Our role today is to give you a visualization tour, as it were, of eight projects. The eight projects that we, even though the printed report has more information in terms of covering more projects, we're only going to cover these eight projects, which consist of the Augustine Center, the Alumni Parking Garage, the Residences of 1906, the Downing Center renovation and related dining facility work, a new restaurant on campus, Panda Express, the nursing physical therapy academic facility, the Raymond Crayman's fourth floor renovation, and the track and field update. Brian?
What we're looking at here is a rendering of the Alumni Square area. It's prominent construction of the Augustine Alumni Center. We've got that completed and moving in March of 2013. Next to that facility, Jeff, what that is? Okay. Next to that facility is our completed parking structure, and adjacent to it is a 36. I'm going to move on. This is our 30,000 square foot Augustine Alumni Center facility. Has three floors. Again, March 2013 is its completion date. Adjacent to that facility is a 474 space parking garage that is currently being utilized. And we have two primary entrances into that facility, one located on Alumni Avenue, and the other one is located on the East 13th Street. This is a view of the new name is the Residences of 1906.
Good name.
We have 36 apartments in this facility for non-traditional, or what they're saying, juniors and seniors. Actually, took about 4 minutes to 8 minutes to completely fill that facility. It has 76 new beds in that unit. Next year, we're going to start the construction across the street on property owned by the Student Life Foundation that matches that facility.
You're looking at the...
go back just for a second. One more slide. The one that shows the overall footprint. You're going forward now, aren't you?
No.
There you go. Go back one more. Okay, you see the overall development. You can see what Brian just described as the residents that are not yet built that are across the street. These right here will be built... beginning this summer, I believe, Howard?
In April.
Beginning in April. So they should be open for students arriving in the fall of 14.
Following year.
Yes. There will be some yet-to-be-determined retail space here, and we're looking at options and possibilities for that space. And, of course, we continue to discuss with hotel developers a hotel that would be connected to the Alumni Center that would serve the entire campus in that location in that block. This whole block is important to us in a number of ways, and of course that's the proposed College of Business building that will be located on that site, which would be directly in front of Van Meter Auditorium. So I just wanted y'all to get a feel for the, and again, just so the board understands, we own none of this property. This is a leased property. The parking structure is leased. The Student Life Foundation owns this wrap, and the Student Life Foundation will own these properties. But the university will not own any of this, but it will all be affected through leases, through the TIF district with the city and county. And that's want everybody to understand that the dynamics behind this development in this part of the tax incremental financing district.
Mr. President, can I ask that when next time, maybe for the housing report in the spring, maybe we could get some interior shots of what these new apartments look like? Because this is probably the only project we've ever done that I've never set foot in. I've never seen the interior shots. I just kind of like to see what they look like.
Sure.
Beautiful.
I also have a question to John. I noticed that the profile of the building here had offsets and so forth, and I noticed that the new structure doesn't have that quite dynamic a look in the architectural renderings. So are we going to have what's in the photograph, or is there something different going to be constructed there?
Are you talking about the difference in the apartments, or which part?
The outside profile.
The outside profile of what part?
Of the housing?
New buildings. If you go back to that photograph, there seem to be shadows and offsets of the building. And here, this seems that there's not as much facade work and so forth as there appeared on the other one.
Well, one of the, this building has been completed, is now occupied, but they are working on putting a facade over the top of this entire structure. And right now, it's just been capped. A lot of times during manufacturing, they've had a very difficult time getting the coupon material. It's fiberglass molded, and later on we will see this face change and be much more attractive on the top of the building.
I think I know where John's coming from. Go back to the slide we were looking at a minute ago. Keep going.
I just know that.
There you go.
Dr. Ransom,
these
very
right
conscious.
Here, John, were originally planned to be individual units, about seven of them.
Correct.
The plan now is for that to mirror the wrap around the parking garage and have the appearance of row houses in an urban setting with different brick material that would distinguish the various sections. But originally, this was intended to be individual small buildings. Now the plan is for that to be one building to mirror what's across the street from it. Is that correct, Howard?
That's correct. So they will set the existing buildings because of the design of the parking structure itself and the fact that they wrap it, they do sit very close to the road. The buildings across the street, once they are built, they will be off the, there will be a much larger setback from the street, mm-hmm. which will allow for greenery and mm-hmm. there will be, they will sit the where they will mirror the existing building, but will have a different setback.
Thank you.
Anybody want to go back one more time?
Another question. Are we any closer to a hotel and a restaurant?
Yes, a little.
Good answer.
The Staybridge Suites, by the way, does open on December 6th at our South Campus on Campbell Lane. That is connected to, well, it's not physically connected, but it is adjacent to our Nicely Conference Center, and that property is nearly complete. If you haven't been by there for a while, it's a terrific property, and we actually, it opens on December 6th, so that's good news for hotel affiliations at that end of our campus.
This visualization is the look at the construction zone and the outer fence of the Downing Center. We've told you more than once, I'm sure, some of the things and features. We want to give you a progress on how we're coming along with Downing Center. At this shot, you can see there's a considerable amount of exterior work and demolition that's already occurred. Just to remind you, this building is now 42 years old. It opened in October, coincidentally, of 1970. I was in grade school. Gary Ransdell was a junior. But got you back. Anyway, this part of the elevation shows you where The demolition is obviously completed on the ground level. This level here will be where the bookstore entrance will be. There are balconies that are going to be up above. You can see what's happening here is that we're now coming back. In other words, it's not just demolition that's been going on. Now we're beginning to bring the building back into shape. The reason I put this slide in is it's in a similar location of what is coming. So flip back one more time, if you would, Brian. This is where we are as of this week. And this is an architectural rendering of where we're headed. And you can see that the bones of the project are coming together at this time. As I mentioned, there is the grand, in the foreground is the Grand Stair Tower, which will be right across the street from Dill Arena. These are the balconies for what will be the Fresh Food Company, and the bookstore entrance will be just to the right of this image. The Grand Stair Tower, I mentioned, this is an elevation of what it should look like once completed from an interior perspective. And it will go all the way from the ground floor to the top floor, and at the bottom be a grand new entrance for the building. Here's another interior shot that you can see. This is standing on what we used to refer to as the second floor. Mm-hmm. And looking up, you can see the center stairs have been removed. Most of the demolition has occurred, but these are still going to come out. All of this ceiling in this immediate area is yet to come out. So that when you're standing on that level, there's going to be an opening all the way to the top. So there'll be an enormous grand opening in the center of the building with solar lighting and daytime lighting coming into the building through the top floor. So I just wanted you to realize that there's two things in this image. First, here is examples of replacement above ceiling mechanical system. So at the same time we're still doing demo work, we're still beginning to bring the building back with above ceiling electrical and HVAC. Here's another interior elevation, a floor up from where we just were. That gives you an idea of the grandness of the vista that the interior will have. This summer, part of the phasing approach, we had to do utility relocations and so forth, and I wanted to put this shot in here to give you an idea of sometimes how difficult it is to relocate utilities. That is solid rock that had to be chiseled out so that a utility tunnel could be put in that would allow us to put all of our utilities, and that will run directly under the Grand Stair Tower. Flip to the next one. That, what you just saw, runs underneath this. And so part of what we did this summer was get that in. Now you see the footings that are coming in ready for the Grand Stair Tower for the entrance. This is the ground floor that is yet to be restored, but I wanted you to get an idea that this is where the bookstore will be. Again, up on a third floor of the building, you can see above ceiling electrical mechanical systems coming in, so we're beginning to bring the building back to its intended condition. As part of the renovation of the Downing Center, we had to shut down what's known as the Fresh Food Company. We constructed on South Lawn a temporary facility that's serving in that capacity. I'm going to get here to my notes to give you the right square feet.
17,000.
That's a 17,000 square foot building that seats 550 students. And it was put up in 90 days this summer. And here's a shot of the serving lines inside the building. And here's a shot of the seating area inside. So if you've not visited, this is all a temporary facility that will be used for this academic year as the Fresh Food Company. Next summer, it will be converted into a food court, which will close another section of Downing Center. And it will relocate there while we're working on that. The bookstore and Fresh Food Company, as we know it, will move back in summer of 13.
Oh, wow.
The building would then go through another year of renovation and be completed in summer of 14. Also, as part of the renovation, we had to relocate the subway, which is a permanent relocation. So subway is an incredibly popular dining option on this campus, and a double-sided subway was put into Bates Runner through an arrangement with the Student Life Foundation. That space was made available to us, and it is a permanent relocation, a double-sided subway, and a convenience store known as Provisions on Demand. A most recent addition to the campus is a restaurant known as Panda Express, which has been in, put in. We started construction in last May or June, and it was just recently completed. We had an opening. I would call it a soft opening. We're going to have a grand opening ceremony in a few days and a ribbon cutting ceremony. We have found student acceptance of this to be incredibly positive, and there is an example of just a small portion of the long lines that lined up when we first opened. So this has been a very successful and popular addition to the dining program. And it reutilized some space. I don't know when the last time you was in Garrett Conference Center auditorium, but that's where the Panda went into.
This facility here is a needed addition over at our track and field facility. We are actually adding some additional parking, and we're also adding a concession, storage, and restrooms to a program that has basically been operating without. I think this is a worthwhile project that we've got in under construction right now, and will be completed by December of this year. The next project we have is a facility that's a joint effort between the Medical Center here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Western Kentucky University, and it's going to be the new home for nursing program and physical therapy, which is also a new program at the university. What we wanted to show you here was the proximity of the facility, which is on our bypass to Nash Road or 31W. And then this is an actual view of the construction that has just started, of some of the steel work going up, but it kind of gives everyone that's familiar with this area. It's prominently located on a very busy highway. It's at the entrance to the medical center, and it's going to provide a lot of visibility for West Kentucky University as traffic and people that pass through Bowling Green, and it's just another great location for this facility and opportunity. What we're providing today is some of the interior shots as this building's being constructed. This is just a shot of our lobby area that's going to be they have been working with Western, and we're trying to put a lot of branding and color, big red spirit inside of the facility. This is one of the larger classrooms, lecture. We've got a couple of very large rooms. They're actually going to be doubling the size of their program to about 160 students from 80. So it's very needed in the area. This is a typical bed lab, that just one of two that they'll have. So this facility, like I said, is going to be opening fall of 2013. And then we have a brand new physical therapy department, which is going to be occupying the third floor. This building is approximately 74,000 square feet. It is three stories tall. Third floor predominantly is physical therapy department, which is the new program. First and second floor will be taking care of the nursing program. This next project that we're showing you is a project that is currently under construction. It is the Raymond Cravens Library. It is the fourth floor. It's the primary entrance into the facility, which comes across the bridge. This project was brought to us, and what I'd like to comment on is a lot of the design work and ideas have come from our own students in the AMS department. We're very proud of working with them. We did bring some professional engineers in for doing the mechanical electrical, but almost all of the architectural work, all of the construction administration is being handled by people at Western Kentucky University. Working with the plan design and construction department. This is going to be they wanted a wow space. They wanted to have a really fresh entrance into this facility. And so this is one floor of the facility that's getting a total makeover, and they're very excited about what's coming. and we will have that ready for the spring of 2013. Those are some of the larger projects that we have going, and if anyone has any questions.
Thank you.
Very good.
Excellent.
John, you're going to talk about some of our utility efficiencies.
Yes,
sir. Thanks, Brian.
I don't even know if I have a slide for that. Do you have a slide for that, Jeff? Okay, I don't have a slide for that, so it's in your agenda. Yes. You have two pages that we'd like to give you as a, what I would describe, a snapshot of some data related to our utility management and utility consumption on campus. Let me first advise that just so that you may be aware, our utility budget for this year, 12-13, is just over $11 million. So it is a sizable part of the campus in terms of expenditures. That represents about 3.5% of our operating. So it is a sizable task to ensure that we are very efficient in the way we manage our utility budget. What this chart demonstrates here is that, in particular, since 2008, you can see that the cost of and the amount of utility cost per square foot has been going down, whereas in the years up leading, or the couple years leading up to that, and the years even preceding that, there has been continued increase in the cost of and consumption of utilities, in this case particularly electricity, because electricity is the greatest amount within our utility budget, and the cooling season is the most expensive part of our utility budget. So that's why we have another slide here for you to profile the summer. But what I wanted you to get from this chart here is that while the square footage has been increasing on our campus, the cost per square foot and consumption of utilities has been going down in the last 4 years. This past summer, on the next page, you'll see
that's a really significant data set, because we have challenged John and his staff in facilities management and with our heating plant, and Dale Dyer and his team to manage our utility budget without getting increases in base funding for utilities.
Two of the last 4 years.
As utility costs have gone up and as square footage has gone up, and they have managed to do that, and the incentive is anything you save you can reinvest into further efficiency measures, but they've not had an increase in the utility budget for several years now, and they've been able to manage that and reinvest, and it's an incredible success story of both financial efficiency but also sustainability and conservation.
When we're doing budget reallocations and budget cuts, and we don't have to put a new line item on there for fixed operating increases for utilities, that really contributes to our financial situation. And then through efforts, you know, there's not a silver bullet here. This is not because of one simple thing, but rather a combination of things has been done, such as ESPC projects. We've invested through Johnson Controls recently with a $10 million project you've heard us talk about before. We've done weatherization of buildings. We've adopted an energy policy. We have utilized energy savings to reinvest, which has resulted in us putting in, as you've seen from previous construction reports, two new boilers in the heat plant that are gas-fired, and we are now completely off of and no longer utilize coal as a fuel source for heating as a result of the savings that was reinvested. We've put automated light controls. Just in the last year, we have installed 255 occupancy sensors in 9 buildings ourselves, and our facilities department is an example of finding ways to be more efficient. So we have a commitment to be a sustainable campus, and all of these measures sort of come together to produce the savings that are on that chart. Now, what I wanted to also let you see was that on this page, is that there was a direct comparison between summer of 11 and summer of 12 related to electricity. We have adopted last year in summer of 11 an amended or abbreviated summer schedule for classes and operations. We adjusted it in summer of 12, and we wanted to see what was the difference and how did they work out. And so what this tells you is that we did a better job this past summer, even with the incredible number of days of 100 degree plus temperatures in July, because of a combination of all those variables. But I also need to compliment the Academic Affairs Division, who has been very cooperative related to consolidating and scheduling classes in a way that lets us minimize the cost of utilities. In other words, we're consolidating the use of buildings in the summertime, and we're amending operating hours, and the composite of all that together has resulted in us not only using less power this past summer than the previous, but as a result of a new, I wouldn't call it negotiated, but opted into pricing structure the university took in the last year with TVA and BGMU, we have saved in the difference between the two summers $37,000 in terms of just savings, comparing summer of 11 with 12, even though it was a very warm summer we just went through. I think it's near record-breaking. So that's another testament and demonstration of how energy management and energy management systems can help keep our costs down. And we're not through yet. There are still ways to continue to find efficiencies. We're going to be taking some new savings that have come as a result of this, reinvest them into improving our energy management system and our facilities management department. And as Dr. Ransdell mentioned, I'd like to compliment Dale Dyer, who heads up that unit in that department, and Charlie Jones, who's here with us today as Director of Facilities Management, for everything they do to help make this possible.
Well done.
You want to have any questions of John? Thank you, John. That concludes the Executive Committee. We now move to Finance and Budget Committee.